Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Make a right, and right by the entrance doors, you'll see an area right to the left of both the men's and women's. We're proud of our men's and women's room here. You can eat off the floor in these restrooms, for better or for worse.
Okay, good. So everyone who RSVP is here.
And Quinn McMahon is stuck in all the time.
First off, thank you to Supervisor Evinger for hosting us today. It's actually an interesting location. We have our own sewer treatment facilities in Erie County. And whenever I run into someone who says,
we can get rid of government. We can reduce. Cut our taxes to zero. I said, okay, do you know that big plant that's on the water? What are you going to do? It's a good example of government in action. It's a service that needs to be provided, that there's really no way to run it in the private sector, but you want to have good sewage treatment facilities. So thank you for hosting us here today. For those of you who think all know me, but for those, we're officially meeting, and I'm calling to order the first meeting of the Erie County Sumitomo Task Force. This task force was created by an executive order by myself after conversations with representatives in New York State and other parties. As we all know, the announced closure by Sumitomo was something that came as a tremendous surprise to our region. There was no advance warning from a standpoint of government leaders. Business leaders, really did surprise us when they made the announcement. I just heard coming in this morning that Bridgestone seems to have made a very similar announcement with regards to a major plant in Tennessee, the announcement of closing of 700 jobs there. So there's definitely some serious issues going on in the tire industry. We know about the problems that we've dealt with in competition as a country with other parts of the world, which are truthfully making tires at ridiculously low amounts because of the lack of paying their employees or providing any benefits. We're not going to solve those issues with regards to this task force. This task force is to try to address the issues to ensure that we are re-employing the employees. And I do know a substantial amount of the employees have already been re-employed in this area. As well as what are the long-term results that we're going to see with regards to the actual Sumitomo facility. As county executive, we've spent a good portion of my administration working on the readaptation of the former Bethlehem Steel site in Lackawanna, turning it into the Renaissance Commerce Park, because it sat vacant for nearly 40 years. We cannot have that happen with the site. I don't think it will happen with the site because of a lot of the advantages of this site, but we need to ensure that this site is used for appropriate purposes in the future. I think we all know that there are a lot of advantages, especially with water and electricity access to that site, that will appeal to many different types of business interests, but some are those that we do not want in our region, especially when it comes to data centers that use a ridiculous amount of electricity, often use a lot of water for cooling purposes, but have almost no jobs associated with them. And so I'm very pleased that we're all here together to go through this process and to ensure that we're doing the best we can for the displaced workers, as well as what we need to do as a community to ensure that the Sumitomo site is one that goes into productive use for our greater community going forward, as well as ensuring that we are not, in the long run, seeing it being turned over to a use that will really provide no true benefit to the greater community. So with that, I'd like to go around the table, because while I think I know everyone, I'm not certain everyone does know everyone. And we have key individuals from government, as well as the private sector, and not-for-profit related type of entities that are interested in the business community. So we'll start over here with John Capolino.
Thank you. John Capolino, President and CEO of the Erie County Industrial Development Agency, and also Buffalo and Erie County Industrial Land Development Corporation, which is our property holding entity that we do land development through.
Well, good morning. I'm Karen Utz. I'm the Western North Regional Director of Empire State Development.
Good morning. Dr. Jacqueline Hall. I'm the Executive Director for the Buffalo and Erie County Workforce Investment Corp.
Jim Briggs, I'm sub-district director with the United Steelworkers. We represented the workers at the plant. I worked with the company from the time they took full control of the plant to the closure, and then negotiated the closure agreement. Glad to be here.
Good morning, Grant Loomis, COO of the Buffalo Agri Partnership, the Regional Chamber of Commerce.
Good morning, Ken Cajal, National Grid.
Good morning, Joe Eminger, Tonawanda Supervisor.
Good morning, Sabatino Sumato, Superintendent of the Canton School District.
Hey everybody, Tom Kucharski with Invest Buffalo Niagara.
Zach Evans, Chief Economic Development Officer for Erie County. Denise Abbott from the Central Labor Council is parking right now. And as I mentioned earlier, our representative from the New York State Department of Labor, Quinn McMahon, is in Albany, but otherwise we've got good turnout here for this first task force meeting.
Thank you. First off, I think we have an agenda here. Hopefully you have the agenda in front of you. I kind of went through the housekeeping and the objectives already, but I would like to open it up to others to talk on that issue if they would like to, because I think it is important that we all kind of are on the same page. We've got one page here. I've realized sometimes when we're in these types of task forces or commissions, and this is a task force that was created by the executive order, sometimes people are in the same book, but they're not in the same chapter, nevertheless being on the same page. So if anybody would like to discuss this in general with regards to the just primary objectives, please feel free.
I just think that, you know, somewhere on the radar screen up near the front is the pending issue that the company has taken a position that everything will cease there in June, operations. And if we don't figure out what we're going to do, water issue that goes through that plant, controlled by that plant, we've got about 500 jobs, 300 of which are USW jobs, at the 3M Corporation, which will not exist without water. And if they shut that water line down, Sumitomo will be taking another shot at the community. And there's another plant back there, it used to be an Oxy plant, I don't remember the name now, but they're in the same position with the... They're in the same position with this water issue. We can't afford to lose any more facilities or jobs. So I think somewhere near the front of our target list has to be making sure that that water continues to flow after June.
Okay, I'll thank you, Jim. That's our number one concern as well, from the town and the state and the county, everybody really. For those who don't know what Jim has brought up, the raw water for Sumitomo and Evonik are taken from the water intakes over at the Huntley plant, the closed Huntley plant. And 3M gets their raw water through the intakes through Sumitomo. So we have to maintain that water. We have met the town, the town has met with Glenn Leonardi and Sumitomo officials over the past month or so to address that issue. The lease that they have, actually it's not a lease, the license that they have through Huntley, through NRG, comes up in February okay, so in a couple of weeks, you know, I don't know when in February it comes up. Glenn has assured me that they are going to work with the town to make sure that that flow does not get shut off. They will enter, they will continue the agreement, that he told me. So that's the short term. Now we got to do more work on it, but the short term is I think the water will continue to flow. But we get, but we need to get the insurance, and I will be reaching out to Glenn today, and I will see where those talks stand.
Supervisor Eminger, if I may, when you say Glenn, who are you referring to?
Glenn Leonardi is the vice president counsel for Sumitomo, and he was like the counterpart to Jim. He was in charge of closing the plant, I guess, for lack of a better word.
If I can jump in there, an invitation, even though they are not on the task force, was extended to Sumitomo. They let me know that they were not going to make it here. They gave some background information to the supervisor and myself. This is later down in the agenda. They are still exploring possibilities that maybe another business may be interested in the site, but that's all that they were willing to share, and they said, we have no other updates to provide right now.
And I think, Zach, I don't disagree with what you just said. We're hearing the same thing. The problem with it is, now it's not Len that's going to control this anymore. If there's another entity, we need to understand who they are, and we need to make the deal with them, because they're going to control the property.
Well, I yes and no, because the town is still doing on our eminent domain, okay, and we have our project, our wall water project, that will, you know, we haven't gone to construction yet on a design, so we can. If something happens in the very near future, we can adjust our plans. You know, so I think in the short term, we're all right, but there has to be a long term solution, and that's what we're trying. You know, when Sumitomo announced their closing, that was terrible news for the 1,500 employees in the region, but it also threw our wall water project kind of like, okay, now what do we do? Because we've been working for years to try and work through Sumitomo. Now they may not be there. What's going to happen?
Supervisor, I'm aware of this, but could you, for the rest, I'm not certain everyone is, to talk about the project and what your plans are with regards to raw water and
so late? So the wall water project is we're going to, we did an eminent domain proceeding that is literally, the NRG has exhausted all their appeals, so the goal is to provide, have industry get their raw water from the municipality. But prior to NRG closing the Huntley plant, the town, and I don't think really anybody, was aware that the industries were getting their raw water through NRG's water intakes. Okay. And the reason for that being, I believe, is that I was told that NRG wasn't charging the industries for the water, for the raw water. And all of a sudden, when NRG shut down Huntley, the industries got these huge license agreements that they had to sign, because without them, they're out of business. And NRG made millions of dollars. Tens of millions of dollars since they closed on this operation. So NRG has contested it in the court of at the appellate division. They've contested at the court of appeals twice in each instance. They've exhausted all of their appeals. Now the ball is in our court, the town's court, as to when we're ready to pull the trigger to take over the Huntley site and the intakes. And then it comes down to, how are we going to decide? Are we going to provide? Now DuPont wants to get in on this project. Okay, so now, and they have their own water intakes. I've talked to GM. GM has their own water intake, but they're not using the water from Niagara River. So our project is a $28 million project to provide raw water to those, I'm going to say, three main industries: Evonik, Sumitomo, former Sumitomo plant, and 3M. If DuPont comes in, it may go up a little bit. but we are proceeding. It's in designed now. Our engineering firm is designing the project now, and I would hope that we'd be in the ground on the project later this year. So that's the project in a nutshell. But the immediate concern is that the Sumitomo issue and making sure that at 3M and Ivonic has their own pump. 3M relies on Sumitomo.
I guess, you know, just so everybody understands, as I stated earlier, I've dealt with the company from the beginning. I dealt with them in the middle of a contract where they said they needed mandatory overtime to keep the plant running, and I gave it to them. And I dealt with them through an expansion project where they told me they weren't going to make money until at least 2026, and then they shut the plant down in 2024 because they weren't making money, which was part of the plan. So while I hear what Len's saying, I have reason to be doubtful.
You don't trust
them? I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah. And like, I don't trust NRG.
I can
relate to that.
So we are, any other main objectives that we're talking about? Because we have what appears to me now to be two short-term objectives, employees and the water issue, and the long-term objective, which is also a short-term period, because we don't want something to be transferred anytime soon, which is the site control and who actually has access to that site. So are there any other objectives that we feel are necessary to discuss at this point? Because each is going to have their own kind of path of which direction we're going with and how to address them.
I think one thing, since we're talking about raw water as an infrastructure component, Ken, is there anything from grid that you want to share right now, or discussions you've had? Not to put you on the spot, but.
Well, I can't get into particulars because Sumitomo is still an ongoing concern. They're still a customer, National Grid. I mean, I can say, you know, the site is served at the transmission delivery voltage, which does give us the ability to serve, you know, a large user. We would obviously need to understand if someone were to come in there and take over the operation, what their power needs would be. Still premature, but, you know, we'll work with them. But other than that, you know, I can't comment on what's being used today or what their usage was in the past because they're still a customer.
Okay. If we don't have anything else to talk about with regards to objectives, I think we are going to have to kind of sort of, I don't want to necessarily create subcommittees and provide so much work because I think everybody needs to be involved in it, but there are different tracks that each of these are going to have to go on. And as we'll talk about in the next section here, and kind of reference with what we just talked about, there's a lot of work that's already going on. This may be the first meeting of the task force, but each and every one of us has played some substantial role in one way or another to try to address this issue associated with Sumitomo. So on that, why don't I turn it over to Mr. Evans to talk a little bit more about what our groups have all individually or sort of collectively have done with regards to these major issues.
Sure. Thank you, County Executive. So my plan here is I'll share, what the county has done, which I know many of you have been on various calls, Zooms, emails, meetings. And then after that, if you want to just go around, if there's anything that your specific organization did that I didn't touch on, I think that way we can all sort of get on the same page, which is one of the main objectives, right, of this meeting. So we're all in the same room, we're all talking, we're all sharing information. As the county executive said, you know, I don't know if we want to parcel, but there's pros and cons, right, to subcommittees and parceling this out. So we'll start broad, and if we got to get narrow, we can do that. So from the county's perspective, after the plant closed on the 7th of November, we had multiple calls and meetings with a lot of you at this table, particularly John and his team at ECIDA, Karen and ESD. Workforce Buffalo, led by Dr. Hall, was just outstanding with their rapid response. I know Dr. Hall and her crew worked hand in hand with New York State Department of Labor on their rapid response. And I believe we have a lot of employees who have found other employment or upskilling and training programs. I personally was involved with multiple phone calls and two site visits with Sumitomo, which I know some mix of you were there. The last one was led by Empire State Development and the Governor's Office for a comprehensive tour of the facility. The county executive established the task force on December 11th, which has 11 members, but obviously there are invites to folks who aren't necessarily members of the task force, but will be invited as needed for various meetings. On December 18th, the Buffalo and Erie County Regional Development Corporation, which is a subsidiary or an affiliate of ECIDA, of which the county executive and Denise are members of that board and the supervisor, they approved the Sumitomo Employee Loan Fund, which all of you have the one pager in front of you. So in case anyone who is affected by this closure said, hey, I'd like to start my own business, or maybe I got a side project I'd like to ramp up, that provided some funding opportunities for those potential small businesses. We've had two very successful job fairs at the town of Tonawanda that the supervisor and New York State Department of Labor put on. Those were fantastic turnouts. The event looked great. And again, thank you to the supervisor for hosting here and both of those job fairs. There was another job fair the other week up at the Buffalo Niagara Marriott that was put on by the Buffalo Niagara Manufacturing Alliance. And then we've had lots of outreach and coordination about raw water, talking with Sumitomo, talking with ESD and various stakeholders about this raw water project, and especially focusing on how we don't have further impacts in this sort of industrial core that is such a vibrant part of Tonawanda and our community. So that's a quick sort of top-down hits from what the county has done thus far, and I'll just go around the table, and if there's anyone else that wants to chime in or fill in anything I left out that your organizations might have done, that'd be great.
You're looking at me.
You're part of the multiple phone
yeah,
calls.
Yeah, that was it. So we did, using some of our research tools, we did do a great deal of analysis to help the Manufacturers Association and the Department of Labor inform them and connect with companies for those job fairs. So that was a good use of our resources. We have, throughout the years with our partners here, worked with Sumitomo and different issues. So we had a good relationship with them. Being the economic development and marketing group for the eight counties, our immediate concern, as everybody may know, we've actually got our first list of companies to be talking to and visiting with the Tech Hub initiative that's going on to build the cluster around the semiconductor industry, green energy, and the like. One of the critical issues that the Western New York, part of the Western New York, Rochester, and Syracuse initiative, one of our biggest challenges is to have sites to actually put companies on, that many of them have demands that are 2-3x the entire city of Buffalo as far as electrical demand. And so immediately, greenfield sites are obviously where a lot of this technology is going, but a number of initiatives at the state level, the governor's office, GoSemi, have talked about what are we gonna do with legacy sites that may have a great deal of infrastructure, can be adaptively reused, or near population centers. We set about the course of working with the county, the ECIDA, ESD, and a number of other entities, and trying to figure out how we could get a third-party investigation, somebody who actually cites companies and helps them with decisions on where they go, do an analysis of the site very quickly, and see if we can have some options. It's always good to have options, and right now I think we need to have some options. This is not going to happen overnight. It's a big site, it's a complex site. We've just started to get into some of the infrastructure issues. However, we've been lucky enough to had a number of world-class consultants work in our region on different projects. So the conversation has gone very quickly. The RFP went out to perform this work 2 weeks ago. Matt Hubacher, who's in the back of the room, wave, Matt, is our VP for business development. And we've had a significant amount of downloads of the RFP and a number of calls, and so there are interested parties from around the world that are watching what's going on here, watching our response, and most importantly, are very interested in the assets of the site. At the same time, there have been expressions of interest on the site currently. NDAs have been signed, so this is one of those things where you can't really talk about publicly, but I would just say that the three expressions so far are all projects that I think we would find more than acceptable in our region. Again, as the county's done a great job with the Bethlehem Steel site, this isn't a sprint, it's a marathon. We're gonna have to be in it, and we're gonna have to be committed to legacy sites and all of the peaks and valleys you go through with geotechnical, power, water, all of those things. But I would say that if we can come out of this with a good prospect that we'd all want to have, this job value job creating and fits into our cluster, we'll be a good participant in our region. That's likely to happen. If not, at least we're working on a plan B to figure out, how do we not let this site sit fallow, and how do we address the different aspects of it? We've got new facilities, really old facilities, and everything in between, and figure out how to make it usable and marketable.
Tom, are you working with Sumitomo on the? So they're working with you. So the three that they're talking to are the three with the NDAs. Those are the ones that are so everybody's kind of working together on that.
Yeah, absolutely, and they're talk daily, and fingers crossed we'll have more. This I've seen on LinkedIn and other communication devices that site selectors and company officials use, especially in the target industries that we have. And so it may be a traditional use, it may be a technology use, but we've got some critical issues that we've got to get to immediately that we need to solve. And then a lot of it will be some primary investigation and just see what the potential is. Not only for this site, but for the cluster that you've talked about that are right around here, and how do we transition, whether it's in the same industries, with new technology or a different use.
So, as a school district or town, anything else that you want to fill in on activities done to date?
Looking at me?
Yeah.
You're up.
I could spend all 8 hours talking about this thing. So, this is a, Sumitomo still, obviously they control the site, so it's way different than the Huntley site, in a way. I mean, we're not doing, the town doesn't have any plans, press, just so everybody, the press there. The town is not doing eminent domain on the Huntley site. Sumitomo site.
You're doing it on Huntley.
You are doing it.
Yeah, we are doing eminent domain. One is enough. One is enough. I mean, so that's why I'm glad to hear, Tom, that they're working with your group to get a buyer for the site, because it is that corridor there is it's the industrial hub of Western New York.
Yeah,
5,000-6,000 jobs, there, and it's very important not only to the town of Tonawanda, but it's important for the region, for the workforce, and everybody else that we address this issue going
Absolutely.
Forward. So I want to thank you for all that you've done so far.
Thanks.
That's all.
As I mentioned earlier, for National Grid, the site has served at a transmission delivery voltage. Sumitomo is a large consumer of electricity, and the infrastructure is on site to support that type of an operation going forward. And then, with the work that Tom and Matt and Vest Buffalo Niagara is doing, National Grid will support that effort as it moves forward as well.
Yeah, thank you.
From the partnership's perspective, obviously we made our primarily manufacturing members aware of all of jobs or opportunities to be able to get out there and talk about their openings, which most all of them have. And so thank you for all the good work that went on there. And to the degree that we can continue to support anything happening at the IDA and the work of Tom and his team, I mean, to the degree that we can be optimistic this morning after last night, despite the real pressing, timely issues that have to be resolved at the site, I really do think it does present an opportunity to address some site selection needs in the community and reimagine that site in a way that I think can be beneficial to our larger economic goals for the long term.
So, why don't you introduce yourself?
So, I'm Denise Abbott. I am the president of the Buffalo Central Labor Council. One of the things that we have been doing in labor is just supporting the workers, reaching out and talking with as many as we can to see if we can rehome folks, if we can be supportive in any way possible. We've done some events to help support the workers in a short term with the holidays that had, happened. Our goal was to make sure that these folks were able to get through the holidays in a way that they were able to support their families. So we've done some short-term things, but are looking forward to working with everybody and continue with the job fairs and continuing to talk amongst ourselves and seeing where we can place people where, they might be able to fall in with a lot of other companies with their skill sets and things like that.
Since the announcement, I think everybody knows what I've been doing now. I met with the company's bargaining committee. We did negotiate a very, very good package that I think, the way I assess it is it took a terrible situation and made it a bad situation, didn't fix it. But these families have an ability with continued health care and dental care and eye care, life insurance, and pay for some period of time into the future to get from point A to point B. And it's everything that's going on and rehoming people, I still don't, as a labor person, I don't think people understand how much we're concerned about the community. If you look at labor and what they give back to the community, we're concerned about the school district. We're concerned about the town. We're concerned about hundreds of thousands of dollars that went to the United Way from them workers' paychecks. The veterans training that they did, the providing service dog to veterans, all the things that happened in the community that are gone. So I guess I'm very glad to hear that there's some people interested in the facility. I just hope that as we're exploring these prospects, we're also investigating the exchange of value. We know what them jobs paid. We know what they brought to the community. What are the new jobs going to pay? And I'm all in for a sprint if it's the right sprint, but I'm all in for a marathon if it's a better race. We have to try and balance what it was to what the new thing may be if we're really going to benefit the people of the community.
Yeah, so Work First Buffalo, we've been really working through our career centers and trying to get individuals upskilled using our individual training account funds, taking a look at resumes, making sure the resumes have been revised and reviewed for any potential job opportunities. We've also identified some additional funding in our job, on-the-job training funds for employers to incentivize individuals to be hired within their organizations. And that seems to be extremely successful to date. So what we're noticing is that we're receiving a lot of individuals from Sumitomo who are interested in CDL drivers licenses. So we've really been trying to focus a lot of our attention on helping them upskill in those industries.
On behalf of Empire State Development, the state has committed some very senior executive resources to work with all of us in the community on these projects. He has been to Western New York several times already to be engaging in meetings. He led the tour at the plant. We supported Invest Buffalo Niagara's efforts to have the study conducted, which will inform possibilities of uses for the site, where at that point the state will be able to be more actively involved. But we've also had over the last year and a half a number of meetings with the town on the raw water project. The state is also in lockstep with trying to find a solution that works for the community, works for those industries that rely on that water.
Thank you. Yeah, it's from the Erie County IDA. A couple of things. I think the tone I'm hearing here is, you know, there's really kind of the triage, the immediate things, workers, and some of the things, and then kind of the medium and long-term goals. So from our perspective, I think it was mentioned earlier, we did put a loan fund together. We know it's not a one size for everybody, but we did think, hey, if there are some smaller individuals who would like to start small businesses, we can offer some support to that. We've been participating in the various job fairs, and we have received a handful of people who are noting that they're interested in trying to apply and get through that. There's also, we've been coordinating those inquiries with other services. A lot of times folks, when they start thinking about opening a small business, you know, they need to start thinking about doing a business plan and going through those, so we've been networking with some of our partners on that. The other things that we've been involved with, you know, probably more medium-term, long-term conversations about just being out at the property and taking a look at, you know, what is there as an asset. I know it's been said a couple times, but you know, that amount of acreage and really close proximity to workforce in an urban setting, you know, could be a real asset for us going forward. I'm so happy that we're thinking about how do we manage that process going forward, and then also continuing to work with the company, you know, if there are people are interested in the property, that, you know, we would have the opportunity to, you know, work with them to see if there's ways we could support that effort as well. But thank you.
Thank you all. We have a number of items that are on the internal on the agenda, which I think we've talked quite somewhat substantially
about. I think we have to.
So I guess the issue at this point is, I think we need to delve in a little bit deeper on some of these issues. Mm-hmm. I'd like to know, and I think the only party that's probably capable of actually providing this is the Department of Labor, is what percentage of the workforce is currently employed. So I think it would be very helpful as we move forward to find out exactly how many of the displaced workers have found employment. That doesn't mean they found employment they like or what is comparable to what they were making with the benefits at Sumitomo, but there, I think there's a, it will help us guide our vision going forward as to address the workforce needs as to how many are currently unemployed. So if we could, and I don't think, is Quinn on the phone there?
No, that's Schumer's office.
Oh, okay.
On the phone, but I will talk with Quinn.
Okay. Glad the senator's office is on the phone. The senator's actually in Erie mm-hmm. County right now doing an event. So we're very pleased to have the senator's commitment to help us in this matter as well. So when it comes to workforce, I think we need to, as I said, understand who are still displaced and unemployed. You've already, Jackie, talked about some of the needs and what people are reaching out to Workforce Buffalo with regards to the assistance they'd like to see with upskilling, because I think that's going to be key. We have a lot of jobs open in our area. We have a low unemployment in general with a lot of jobs open, but very few of these jobs are making the same salaries as what Sumitomo did with the same benefits. And in many cases, especially as we're talking about some of these tech jobs, there is going to be upskilling required, where it's not maybe that far off from where people could be making the same amount of money, but they need to have the skill set. And I think that's something we really need to focus on, is what's available and what other upskilling opportunities can be provided. So I don't know if anybody wants to discuss that as well before I...
The only thing I can add to that is, you know, we've taken a look at our internal policies, just trying to understand what WIOA, which is the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act, is able to allow us to do to be flexible in these situations. So for dislocated workers, we are going to open it up and make the process for these individuals as seamlessly as possible and less cumbersome. So we're reducing any red tape. So if they have found a position that is making below the amount that they were making in their previous position at Sumitomo, we will still work with them regardless if they are employed or not to make sure that they are made whole or above that.
Thank you. Jim, I have a question. I know you probably don't want to get into all the details, and I know it was a floating system based on how many years of service. But is when you negotiated with Sumitomo, there was an expectation that people were going to get either a flat payout or be paid for a certain time period. And then their benefits are carried over for weeks, months, depends on years of service.
I mean, the negotiations have been presented and it's public. I'll share everything I can tell you about it. We were able to negotiate a separation agreement for our members that work there. We represented 1,100 of the 1,500 approximately. We were able to negotiate a separation package that will provide 2.5 weeks pay for each year of service, capped at 48 weeks. The total of that settlement is about $47 million going to them 1,100 workers that we were able to negotiate with the company. In addition to that, we were able to negotiate lowering the years of, we have plan closure language in our collective bargaining agreement. We were able to negotiate language that reduced the years required to be eligible for a full pension, unreduced, which opened the pension system up and the number of people that could get that by, 130 to 180 more people would be eligible to collect a full pension. And then in addition, we were able to expand some timelines that would allow people not only to collect the full pension, but become eligible for the retiree health care. It's called the VEBA, and have both benefits. We negotiated with regards to health care, dental and vision, 1 year of coverage for all our members, totally paid by the company. And because we understand the stress of plan closures on families and people, it's not something you want to do, but we did secure a 2-year life insurance policy should something bad happen as a result of this. It's a thing you don't want to talk about, but in plan closings and financial hardship, bad things happen. So that's what I said earlier. We took a terrible situation, I think made it bad. But we feel with the average age and service dates of the people in the plant that it gives people a pretty good cushion to move into their next career. And those are the highlights of it. There's some other things in there. But, probably close to an $80 million package when it's all said and done. That'll help the workers get from the closure to the next spot in their life and their family.
The 2.5 weeks of pay for each year of service, was that paid out as a lump sum, or are they receiving checks?
It'll be paid out as a one-time check in a lump sum of the value of that.
The reason I asked that is because I wanted to, from the Department of Labor and others, if they're unemployed or technically still employed and just receiving a severance through a certain period. So it sounds like they would be unemployed.
They would be considered unemployed because it was 30 days after announced closure before you could accept it.
Okay.
And they'd be eligible for unemployment benefits and be considered unemployed because we bargained it that way, yes.
Thank you. Any other questions on that? Because I think it does pertain to the immediate need of some of these individuals and families, knowing that they're going to at least receive health care for a year. Some of them are going to have a significant amount of money that they'll be receiving in a short period of time as rather than spread out over a lifetime.
The minimum of payment was $11,000. So if you work there a month or 6 months or I think 3 years, got you to 20 to what we wanted to be the minimum amount. But so the minimum payout was $11,000.
Thank you. It sounds like you did very well for your members.
I think we did as good as we could do, and I'm very proud of the organization I work for. I'm saddened for the people that work there and their families.
Any other comments or questions?
Just a quick question. I've seen a lot of Facebook group chats, and what is the best communication channel for people who might want to have an opportunity to go out to the unemployed workers? Is that through the hall, or how? What's the best way to do that?
We have a system set up through our office. I think if somebody wants to get to the workers and let them know, the best thing you could do is to contact the steel worker office at 716-565-1720. And leave a message with the secretary, and she'll forward it. And the local and the district have a web page where, as these things coming in, we have we're adding them to the list. I know there's a lot of people looking at CDLs. It's a need, and I know our brothers and sisters from the Teamsters Union, and we're in the process of scheduling a work fair with their employees to open them doors.
Which opens up, I know we've had a number of job fairs. Do we have anything else on the books at this point with regards to job fairs for employees that's directly associated with Sumitomo above and beyond unusual job fairs?
At this point, there's nothing scheduled. Other than the ones that New York State Department of Labor were doing on a monthly basis.
As they're not having participated or gone to them, it sounds like the participation rate was quite good of Sumitomo employees.
I attended them, and they were very well attended, very appreciated. But yeah, I did attend them, and they were a lot of different employers, a lot of people I knew from our other locations, but a lot of people I didn't know. And I can tell you, it was lawn parking and almost out to the back of the park where you could come in off the side road. So very well attended.
The first one, to my understanding, there was well over 500 participants, individuals who came for the job fair, and well over 100 employers or partners that participated.
Yeah, I was going to say, from my attendance, and I know I talked with Dr. Hall and the supervisor, and what Jim said, it was not just the affected employees, but the employers in the region really stepped up, and I think we were all very happy with how many people showed up and said, hey, we're hiring, and we're looking, we'd be glad to hire you.
Is there a need for another one? I was just asking.
I don't know.
I'll defer to Jim.
I can tell you that. You know, I don't have numbers. Mm-hmm. I can tell you a lot of our members, we're staying in contact with them. Mm-hmm. You know, they come into the hall because they have benefits there that the benefit rep, the one thing we were able to do was negotiate that the benefit rep and the president local would be paid by the company for another year. So if members had issues, they could come to the hall and see them. And so we know quite a few people are back working.
Yeah.
But there's still quite a few that need work. Mm-hmm. And you know, that when I say quite a few are back, it means that a lot of those opportunities have been eaten up. Mm-hmm. There may have been some new ones created since then. I think another job fair would probably be well attended.
In the labor folks, sort of the three of you right there, I didn't plan that, but I like that to outland it. Is there sort of a precedent for a spike after severance benefits wear off? I'm thinking about timing. Have you seen in your experience, is there a pattern of after, you know, hey, a lot of these benefits got eaten up, all right, now I'm going to really actively look, or is it sort of a steady trickle of looking for work?
I think it was an unfortunate time, mm-hmm. that because it was the holidays,
right.
So many people were focused on let me get through the holidays.
Right.
And now I think there might be a greater focus that if I don't have something, I'm going to start looking for it.
Okay.
I think it's a great opportunity to do something now again because of that fact.
Yeah, I think generally, and you know, I started my career, one of the first things I ever did was walk across the Rainbow Bridge with Jesse Jackson over NAFTA. Mm-hmm. So I started my career following NAFTA and some plant closures happening, and haven't done one in a long time, and was really happy with that. wish I wasn't doing this one. But that being said, I think what I've seen over, I guess I just said I'm a little older, over my period of time doing it is your younger workers will kind of relax, take a little vacation. The family people will be out worried about that next career. I think with the demographics and the at that plant, I think probably 75% of the people we represented are either going to retire completely in that group or are looking for jobs immediately. 25% may be that younger group that's going to say, hey, this is a vacation, I got time.
And I also think to that point, in terms of additional job fairs, we will be working with NYSDL to conduct a customized workforce system job fair. So if there's other challenges or barriers that the workers might be experiencing, such as childcare, we'll be able to point them in the right direction and assist them with that as well.
So on an action item for that, it sounds like it would be beneficial soon to have another job fair. Do we think we should have it at the same location or a different location?
Our venue is always open.
Okay. I mean, those were great. If it ain't broke, don't fit.
I think that venue works great because of the, if you look at, the demographics and location of that workforce, pretty central.
Yeah, Lincoln Athletic. Mm-hmm.
It's and great. We can work with NYSDL on, making sure that moves forward.
I think it would be helpful to have Quinn's information, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, and I will send out a post this meeting recap. And again, to sort of level set, this is the first meeting. I think it was good for us all to get in a room and talk about these objectives, what we've done so far. And to the county executive's point, going forward, if we have to do more of maybe a labor and workforce versus the site, because I think the site is, there's a couple moving parts. There's the, while Sumitomo is there, and are they looking for a tenant or someone to take it over, which it sounds like they are. There's the Tonawanda raw water infrastructure component, which is going to go on no matter what. And then there's the, hey, say Sumitomo doesn't find a buyer or a tenant, then we have an abandoned facility. So there's, I think, three components really on sort of the property side. So it might be beneficial for next meetings to sort of segment our discussion in our group. And I'll help coordinate that.
And I would just offer, I think this company needs to understand they dealt a blow to this community. And I understand this, they want to keep things quiet, they want to keep things private. But if there's a potential new operator of that facility that's going to require more water or something that may not exist there, and the town's in the middle of a project, I think it would, we got to kind of make sure that whoever's thinking about doing this understands that there's a lot of moving parts that have to move forward, and if there's something potential there that could change what you need to do with this project, the sooner we know the better. So I understand companies and not wanting to be out there, but I think they owe it to this community to be out there as far as they can be.
Yeah.
And some of us actually took them to task publicly, which they didn't
thank
like.
Thank you.
Which I thought, having lived through that as a teenager when Bethlehem closed, I understood the impact that that would have. This was not Bethlehem Steel. This was not 15,000 workers. But it still was going to have an impact, and I lived through that, knowing what it does to families. I understand it, so I was not going to stand by and just say nothing. We also have to understand that the workforce wasn't all labor. There was a substantial amount of individuals that were in management and higher positions associated with what was Sumitomo USA, which is pretty much being shut down, I've been told. So we also have to focus and think about what we can do, and this is where I think the partnership and Invest Buffalo Niagara through their relationships to get individuals who may be accountants or individuals in the marketing field for them that to the jobs that already exist with the companies that are here, which may actually be paying a similar amount as to what Sumitomo was paying. So we have to also realize that that the 1,500 workers that were displaced, as you know, that 1,100 of them were yours, but there was 400 individuals who were not represented by the steel workers who lost their jobs as well.
And Mark, on that note, if you went back and talked to some of management, you'll find out that we had respect for some of the local management, and I personally have contacted some of them about potential HR openings or financial openings in other companies. So a family's a family. We have our union family, but the community is a family, and we have we have reached out to some of the management people too.
Thank you. I think that's important as we talk about job fairs, because if we're just looking at job fairs associated with labor, when there's also needs from other companies in this community, maybe it's not a job fair that's necessary, but to ensure that there's a conduit so that those entities that have openings in these managerial positions are able to tap into the workforce that was at Sumitomo.
Well, that's already been just quietly between our two organizations. So, yeah, I do think that there's a lot of work that, unfortunately, for best intent, cannot be publicly talked about, but there is a lot of effort being
Understand
expended.
That.
So.
I think that's... I think we did take some stuff out of order, but I think we touched on just about everything on the agenda. So like I said, I'll send out a recap to the group.
Is there anything else that someone wants to
just had
bring
one
up?
Quick question. It's more on the water job. You know.
Excuse me.
So what is involved with the Sumitomo operation? Is it just the cost to run the pumps and manage it? I know they get paid, obviously, for the raw water, but what is the like carrying cost, or how does that work?
They are responsible for the pump house and the infrastructure. You know, energy has no cost involved in maintaining anything. So, and the pump house is older, so that's what we're doing our study now, is do we need to build a new pump house? There's two pump houses over there. Well, there's one for Evonik, and there's one for Sumitomo 3M. Our study is, you know, do we build new, or can we use the existing pump houses and do one's in better shape than the other? I can't remember which one it is at this point.
So for the short term, that's what I was thinking about, short term, if whatever some point in time where Sumitomo says we can't operate the station any longer, it's really someone to operate the actual station itself in order to continue the service for a period of time. Before the maybe town system got put in place. So we would need to think about that short-term solution, potentially the bridge.
And if I could ask, is the pump house located on Sumitomo's property? Is it along the river where energy used to be?
River,
so it's technical. So who owns that land? NRG? Do we know? If you don't know,
legal,
it's
a legal question. You don't understand that.
So I think that's, we've got to figure that one out.
Maybe it's leasehold improvement. The energy owns the land, and Sumitomo or the Evonik own the pump houses.
Yeah. Okay. But to John,
confirm that.
And to John's point, I know this came up at one of the meetings up at Sumitomo. It seems like it may be legally complicated and, you know, pulling hair out, but it seems like there is a solution with the existing pump house in place that's in the realm of possibilities after Sumitomo would stop running, right? If the pump house could be there,
there could be
just
a bridge needed between when the new
system
is put in place.
Exactly.
Let's say, I don't know.
We're speculating, but
if there's some point in time where somebody says, well, we're no longer going to operate that pump station, I'm just trying to figure out if from the water system side, it sounds like
I think
that's all you'd need to do is figure out how to continue.
Like an easement to 3M or something.
Number one, we need
good news is, the good news is, maybe to ease a little bit of Jim's concerns here, the good news is, we could take over through eminent domain, I think within a month or two, if we were pushed, because they've exhausted all their remedies. We're having our appraisal done of the facility now, the whole property. That's kind of the only thing holding us up. I'm hoping that'll be done in the next month, and then I'm told that the process then would maybe take another 30 days, you know, so we could have control of everything very shortly if we need it. So if somebody came in, this is long term, you know, thing with the future user of the plant.
Yeah.
So,
but
we got 3M that we have to worry about.
Right.
Anyway. Everybody kind of forgets about 3M because they're the smallest user of water of the three by a lot. They're the smallest user, but they're still very important.
And the agreement with Sumitomo to operate that plant runs through June, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm sorry, what?
I think the agreement that Sumitomo has with 3M is that they'll continue to supply water through June.
Through 6 months, So I'm assuming that means that they are going to renew the agreement with NRG in February.
Gotcha.
You shouldn't assume, though.
No.
We're just trying to think about, we don't want a gap, right?
Right.
If we can avoid having a gap where suddenly this existing system.
Yeah.
So I just think if it's a way to have a conversation about is when that commitment to actually operate the station and how we manage that transition at some point.
Sounds like Supervisor Eminger is taking the lead with regards to this issue here.
He's the chair of the Water Committee.
We are, my office continues to get calls on the Sumitomo property that I refer over to Glenn. And we continue to get calls also on the Huntley plant. Things take time in government, as the I think the county executive said. But see, that's why you gotta get these things started.
Quarterback.
If you don't start it, we'll be here.
County executive. So at that point, just to give you a little color on the study. So the study, there's about 6 weeks left for all of these international firms to respond. We have done a similar exercise a couple of years ago, got a lot of press, where we looked at, started with over 100 sites in the 8-county area with the consultant, got it down to 52, and about 40 of them are already gone in a 2-year period. So working with the right consultant, with the right connections, this can be a good thing down the road if this is the option that we need to pursue. We will select a committee that went through this exercise previously to kind of pick the consultants. We have a world record time. We have a contract with ESD, who we need to thank for funding this. The county, the ECIDA, and GRID are going to help us with some of that funding to carry it forward. It's a reimbursable, so we're all happy to be at the table, but we need a little help there. But the issues you're talking about, Supervisor, geotechnical, power, all of those things are going to be, somebody that we select is going to need to jump right into this immediately. Time is not our friend here. So so you probably will see an announcement on the selection of the consultant as fast as we can go in probably about 3 months. A committee will be convened and to help inform this from all the different utilities, land use, governments, workforce, transportation. Matt, do we have the summary of that site and buildings study that we did?
If anybody wants to RFP on our site.
Yeah, so if anybody wants to look at, you can just see the broad spectrum of things that we're going to be looking at. Good news is the folks that we sent it to are used to doing this and are doing this all around the world. What should be mentioned is we combined our list of who to send this to between ESD and our organization, and we did send it to the state's MWBE entire list. So if we can get some type of, maybe if it's a national firm, to partner with some local folks who have the inside baseball on a lot of things, that'll help move this a little quicker. That's about as fast as we're going to be able to go with all the entities that are involved, but it's something that hopefully maybe by the fall, if we're still figuring out what to do, we may have some a list of recommendations and things that we can be pursuing.
We have just one last thing I want to add. Okay, we have weekly team calls on the raw water project, 8 o'clock every Friday morning, so we are staying on top of this, and we are acting as quickly as we can. And we're getting there. It just takes a little time.
Is that is it a public meeting?
No, it's not a public meeting.
Can't go show up looking for coffee. any other comments or things that people would like to bring up? We do not have a next meeting date scheduled yet. We'll coordinate with everyone, because I think it's important that everyone be in a room and not just have half a group for a meeting. Mm-hmm. It's quite apparent that we've got some good ideas on things we need to look at with regards to the workforce issues as well as the site. And I do appreciate everyone's participation. As was noted, this is not a sprint. It's going to be a marathon. Let's hope it's more middle distance, not a 20 to 30 year marathon.
Thank you all. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll do it though.
We were absolutely.
When I first started, you had finished.